You're listening to a podcast on the Audio Boom Network. This is A Mindful Life with me, Dave Thomas. Thank you for downloading this edition of the program. I do hope you enjoy it. I've been doing these podcasts now for over 5 years, and it has taken me all over the United Kingdom. However, this episode comes from the Red Sea on the eastern shores of Egypt. At the invitation of Depth Therapy through the Curtis Palmer program, I spent a week at the Roots Dive Centre close to El Kasir. Depth Therapy accepts injured military veterans and invites them to achieve their diving qualifications without the stigma of being labelled disabled. Yes, unfortunately, that still exists. The journey for me started with an overnight drive from the north to Gatwick Airport. I rendezvoused with my fellow travellers and who I got to know well in the week we spent together. One guy had a pair of prosthetic legs, another was in a wheelchair. Any feelings I had of pity were quickly blown away by their resilience and their zest for life. The 5-hour flight passed quickly, and a further 2-hour night drive into the middle of the desert saw us arrive at the Roots Dive Centre. I was allocated a room with the guy in the wheelchair.
Grant, you've been my roommate for a week now. For people, obviously, that can't see us sat here, most of the time you're confined to a wheelchair. Just describe your condition and how it affects your day-to-day.
Yeah, I have multiple sclerosis, and during the day, at home, I use 2 walking sticks, and I use the sticks to get about the house if I'm not furniture walking. If I go out of the house, then I have to use my wheelchair because walking around the place is just too much for me. I get so fatigued, my legs are weak, and they just do what they want to do. We're supposed to me actually telling them what to do.
Well, how did, because obviously you were 18 years in the army, I suppose with kindred spirits. You were in the Royal Military Police, SIB, Special Investigation Branch. I used to be a detective. How did the MS come on?
I think within the first 6 years of being in the army, I had glandular fever. But I didn't know anything about it then, so I just put that to one side and carried on with my army career, putting away the yearly mandatory fitness tests, smashing them in and out the park. And then it wasn't until my last posting that I felt my legs going numb. And then obviously trying to walk up and down steps and running became an issue for me. I was on a middle night shift at the time and had a burning red hot pain coming from my shoulder to my elbow, which kept moving up and down at pace all through the night, and that's what made me go to the doctors. Doctors did his initial tests and didn't like what he found and put me straight in hospital. The German medical system, which I can't fault, did a myriad of tests on me for 3 days, and after that 3 days and a lumbar puncture, they came out and said, "You have MS, how long have you had that for?" And I just looked at them blankly and thought, news to me, and that's how it came about.
Obviously, you've been diving for a few years now, I think. So how did you get involved with Depth Therapy?
I've been trying to get my diving ticket since being diagnosed with MS, but a lot of the diving places I'd been to before sort of like shied away, saying, obviously, because I got MS and the amount of medication I was on. But I was having a talk with Blesma one night, and they said, "This gentleman does diving and he dives in the Arctic." So I said, "Right, I'll come along to the talk just so I can talk to him." I was talking to him and I said, "Does anybody you dive with have MS?" And he says, "Well, I know somebody who has MS and they're diving and he's a dive master." And he turned out to be Michael Hawley. So I said, would they be willing to take another person with MS on? And he says, "I'll give you the details." Mm. He gave me Richard's details and I contacted him. And he said, "Yeah, well, by no means, you come along and we'll train you." Obviously, a medical to begin with, and passed the medical and changed some of my medication. And here I am.
I think the common theme through everybody is that it's given them back their lives, really. What has diving given you?
Yeah, it certainly gets me away from the wheelchair and walking on the sticks. And to me, it's just pure freedom. I have no issue, well, apart from getting in and out of the water, I need a bit of assistance. But once I'm in the water, I have no issues with ability. It's just pure freedom.
I must admit, I did chuckle, because in Egypt it's a case of what works, and I know yourself and Chris get ferried to the shoreline by wheelbarrow, of all things.
Yeah, yeah. When I first came, well, Richard first said to me, he said, once you're at a route site, you'll be in the wheelbarrow. And I went, a wheelbarrow? And he said, yeah, that's how we transport it down to the seafront. I thought, right, no worries. I thought, if it works for Chris, it'll work for me.
You truly are an inspiration, Grant. I know you get frustrated with wanting to do things but are unable to, and I'm sure you do get annoyed, but I've never once seen you lose your temper with yourself or anybody else.
No, I don't. I laugh at MS daily, so it doesn't beat me, and at the moment I'm beating it, I feel, so everything's a winner. And obviously with depth therapy, they've shown you that you can have a life with an illness, and everything's a winner.
Having never dived before, the first part of the course was confined to a deep swimming pool. Here, the basics of scuba diving were learnt: buoyancy, emergency procedures, and getting to know the various bits of kit. The instructors at Depth Therapy are world-class, and safety runs through everything they do. Having an air tank filled to a pressure of 2,500 PSI on your back is effectively a bomb if not treated with respect. With the confined water training complete, it was time to enter the sea. The Red Sea is teeming with life. With each meter descended, different species of marine life exist, some providing mutual benefit to each other, some sworn enemies. The majority of the descents were classed as skill dives, aimed at learning and mastering new diving techniques. Depth Therapy cleverly split these up with recreational dives, allowing me and the other divers to literally swim with the fish. The experience was breathtaking. Regardless of the purpose of the dive, there is always a thorough debrief.
Basically, first deep dive to 30 metres. Okay, there was a little bit of current going in. You could feel it against us as we were going down through the channel, and then onto the
same way, aren't they?
That's right. And then as we got a little bit further down, the current took us, so it was easier to go down. It was nice and gentle, nice and easy down to 30 metres. The skills, well, they're not skills really, but just looking at the colours, you can see the big difference in the colours. Huge. From the, the red massive. Particularly just goes black.
Yeah.
You don't see any colour. And then coming back up, we saw a different change. At 5 metres, you saw how much it had come back. But the first 10 metres, the first colour to go is red. So any colour that has red in it changes after 10 metres. The water bottle, see how scrunched up it was? Okay. Now, with it being scrunched up, that's an indication of what's happening to the air, okay, inside your lungs, inside your bottle as well. Okay, so actually the air is being compressed as you're going down. So when you're breathing the air, you're taking on more because it's compressed. That's why you use your air more as you're going down. You use more air the deeper that you go.
I'm with Michael Hawley, who's been one of my instructors this week at Roots at the Red Sea. Michael, I know you suffer from MS. Perhaps you could just tell us a little bit about your condition currently.
I have recurrent remitting multiple sclerosis. I have a lot of brain fog, a lot of delayed reaction, and my fatigue gets quite high. I get fatigued quite easily. I've got good treatment, it's manageable, so I can't complain too much.
What amazes me and everybody around here, despite your own disabilities, you know, you're here and you've been instructing me, you've been looking after others, which I find not inspiring, but to be honest, amazing.
Thank you very much. You just got to keep everyone safe, keep yourself safe, everyone else safe, and the jobs are good.
So I suppose that brings us on to how you got into diving and what you get out of it.
I got into diving. I saw on social media one of my friends had been involved with Depth Therapy. I got in touch with him, said, do you think I'd be able to do it? He said, yeah, give him a shout. So I give them a shout, and it took 2 years to pass a dive medical through various medications I was on and having to change in lower amounts, and then I got diving. And what I get out of it is the silence. All the different noises, my brain doesn't process them and it all just becomes a white noise, but underwater, the only thing you hear is your bubbles, and it's so silent, so peaceful. It's perfect.
And I was saying to somebody yesterday, I think it was, that once you're in the sea underwater, regardless of your disability, either physical or mental, everybody's equal.
Yeah, everyone's got the same playing field, nice and easy, steady away. So makes life a lot easier down there. Being young, you're buoyant, it takes all pains off your legs and things. So yeah. It's good.
And do you take anything, obviously when you're instructing people, how does that improve your own well-being, I suppose? Because you must get frustrated with your condition, shall we say, at times.
Yeah, I get very frustrated with my condition. But when you've helped someone, you see something just click in that person, you think that they've done really well, but you think, I've helped them do really well. So it's a massive positive to yourself. Makes a big impact on your life. It's nice to see.
What would you say to anybody that is perhaps thinking of going diving but are unsure as to whether they might be suitable?
No one's unsuitable, I've found so far, if it's unless it's via certain medications and things. If you don't try and find out and don't do it, you'll never know, and you could regret it. But it could change your life, it could help your life. You see a lot more of a different world, and it's a more calm, a peaceful world. I recommend everyone should try it if they can.
Well, you must be a good instructor because you got me through the week, so thank you for that, and thank you for all that you do for all the other veterans.
Cheers, Dave. You made it easy by being good yourself, sir. Thank you very much for your time.
Well, I'm with Chris Middleton, who's a former British soldier and Afghan veteran. Chris, welcome to A Mindful Life. Perhaps if you just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm a veteran who served in Afghanistan. Unfortunately, I was one of the victims of an IED, which resulted in losing both of my legs, left above the knee, right below the knee. Before that, during on tour, I was a sniper out there, so I was quite a busy young man at the age of 20 years old out there. It was my first tour, and it ended rather soon after I deployed there, after 4 months. So then went through a lot of recovery down at Headley Court. I was there for about 3 years, 4 years, learning how to walk on prosthetics, which thankfully I'm able to now, so I can still get about and do some amazing things, like diving, where we are at the minute in beautiful Egypt, at a place called Roots Camp. So yeah, a little bit about my diving. I started diving with a charity called Depth Therapy back in 2012. Richard Cullen, he came into Headley Court, dragged me out and was like, fancy coming diving? I was like, no, mate, I've just been blown up, you know, I don't really fancy it. And then he said, it's in Florida for a week, all expenses paid. I was like, say again, over? I was like,
shut up, take my money.
Shut up and take my money, or lack of money, yeah. So doing a couple of try dives there, seeing a turtle, big Napoleon wrasse, fell in love with it. Absolutely fell in love with it. Don't know why it took me so long to dive. I didn't dive like pre-injuries. So and then it comes into the benefits of scuba diving, where I used to suffer quite bad with PTSD.
Well, I was going to ask you, because you know, I've known you a week now, and you're a very bubbly guy. But I suspect that wasn't always the case. And those first few days, weeks, months, maybe even years after your injury, you must have been to some pretty dark places.
Yeah, you could definitely elaborate on the years of struggling. I turned to, I think, what most lads do in my position, turn to drinking drugs. So I just used alcohol as a coping mechanism, and then went on to smoking weed. I did a bit of cocaine here and there. Nothing to be proud of, however, but when you're feeling as dark as I was, that was like a block. So you just get to forget about what you're going through and what's happening. But then you replace that with something like scuba diving, and it's very cliche. It didn't just change my life. It definitely saved my life. The amount of stuff I've done now, the amount of achievements I've accomplished. And I'm now a double amputee dive master, which comes back on these courses and helps out the new guys who are in the same or similar positions to me to get to where they need to be. And because I've started doing that, this has led on to me becoming a boxing coach, which helps the undervalued children who are in like against knife crime. And yeah, I do blind boxing, I do deaf boxing, I do wheelchair boxing, stand-up, able-bodied boxing. None of that would have succumbed to the surface if it wasn't for my experiences in diving.
one of the five pathways to well-being, the NHS, is to give back, to help others. How does that help you?
I can empathise with guys and girls in who are going through or the same or similar situations with mental health. You know what people are like. Sometimes you know they're not in the right mood for it, so you drag them to a side and you have a little chat with them. You make sure that they know that you're feeling all right, to listen and just to have that shoulder. If they want to cry, if they want to cuddle, albeit I'll give you a shoulder to cry on, and now my arms are open for a cuddle. But that helps me so much, because like you say, giving back is one of the five pathways. But it's so true, man. The amount of times I see people after a boxing session or after their first dive coming up with a smile on their face, I know what that feels like. And you know, and you can relate to that, you can empathise with that. And on the flip side of that, if you see people going the wrong way, going like the bad way down the path, or they're falling off the wagon again as such, you can be there to just like, come on, mate. It's all right. You can get through this. You've just got to get rid of this alpha male sort of stigma that's been given. And if you need help, there's nothing wrong with putting your hand up and saying, yo, bro, I need some help. Like, give me a cuddle. Like, listen to me. I need to talk to you about this. I'm falling out with my family. I'm falling out with my missus. I'm falling out with my boyfriend. We've all been there. We've all done that. So just to understand that there is somebody else out there that you can push in the right direction is amazing. It's a really nice feeling.
One thing I've noticed diving this week, and it's the first time I've ever been diving, again, it was an opportunity through Curtis Palmer programme and then through Depth Therapy. You know, you've double amputee, Grant's got MS, other people have got various disabilities of one form or another. Get in the water, we're all equal.
That's exactly right. Some people struggle more than others, but at the end of the day, it's like learning how to drive a car. We've all got to pass hazard perception, we've all got to pass the theory, we've all got to pass the test. So once you get in that water, everyone's equal, everyone's the same. And you're just there to just embrace the alien life of underwater, which is that itself. And we're at Roots, we've got the best diving in the world right here, yeah. Do you know what I mean? So it's pretty astonishing what we see down there and the experiences. And I think we had a chat yesterday or this morning, and it was basically saying, you find your tribe.
Yeah, the tribe finds you, one way or the other, very definitely.
Yeah, and diving, I think diving can bring the most mixed amount of people from different scenarios, different lifestyles, different worlds, and bring them all together. And when we debrief after a bit, like after a dive with a beer, we're all talking about the same thing, what we've seen underwater, how we struggled with this bit of current, or how we felt at this depth and all this. It's
so I suppose to finish off then is what you personally get out of diving.
So with this, it's obviously with my legs, I don't wear my legs underwater. On the surface, I don't know if people know about phantom pains and stuff. When you are missing limbs, it's pretty painful. It's pretty uncomfortable. It's pretty annoying. When you get underwater, oh my God, it's just gone. It's weightless. It's your weightlessness, and it's just, it's amazing. On the mental side of it, for example, a car backfiring driving down the street, that could trigger off an episode of PTSD. Fireworks can do that. Underwater, all you hear is bubbles or me singing through my regulator underwater, because it's just my happy place under there. You know, it's just everything just gets washed off and wiped out. And you got like, me as a dive master, I've got to keep an eye on what the other divers are doing. But on the other side of that, I'm just taking in the magical world of underwater, which is amazing.
Well, I'll tell you what, mate, you're an absolute inspiration, and one thing I've learnt through the various things that I've done through the charities is perspective. And when you see other people and some of the adversities they've overcome. And I've learned, actually, that there are no extraordinary people. They're just ordinary people doing extraordinary things.
I agree with that. And it's been a pleasure to have you on this week, mate. I've definitely got a good pal. We're going to stay in touch. And hopefully, in the near future, come out to a different dive resort or the same dive resort. I'm not doing UK diving. That's far too cold for me. No. Get me out in the tropics, and we'll be there, and we'll make some more memories for sure.
Absolutely, you're on. Cheers, Chris. It's hard not to be moved by the sheer bloody mindedness and resilience of these guys. Their resolve is inspiring. Their bravery humbling as they regain their dignity and purpose in life. The impetus of their journey has been largely in part down to one man. I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Richard Cullen, who founded the Depth Therapy charity. Richard, before we talk about the charity, perhaps you could just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm 72 years old. When I was 20, I joined the Metropolitan Police, and I served in the Metropolitan Police for 30 years. And when I retired, I was the Met's Director of Training and Development. I followed that with 10 years as a senior civil servant within the Home Office and Ministry of Justice. Thought I'd retired and then did some managing consultancy work for Oxford Strategic Consulting. And since 2006, I've been diving and I've progressed to be a master instructor in both PADI and RAID. And I'm also an instructor trainer for crossover instructors coming into RAID.
Now, you set up your charity. I'm guessing there was some sort of impetus for that, or was there a gap that you saw wasn't being filled?
Well, there was an old charity called Depth Therapy, a Scottish charity, which I'd volunteered for because I was already a diving instructor. And the dive centre I used to teach at was Aquatic Element in Windsor. And we saw lots of soldiers coming back wounded from Afghanistan. And the guy who owned it, John Carling, asked me if I could sort out some adaptive teaching and could we run a course for soldiers who'd lost limbs, etc. And I found this charity called Depth Therapy. As I said, it was a Scottish charity. And I volunteered to work in that. I have to say that that charity was shut down by the Scottish Charity Regulator for lack of governance and failing to submit annual accounts for 4 years. So Depth Therapy basically was created to try and continue and develop the work that that charity had done. I suppose one of the key points in the charity's life was actually taking Chris Middleton and another bilateral amputee, so bilateral means both legs, to Florida as part of the old Depth Therapy, and they basically used to just do try dives. Chris really loved it and said that he wanted to be a scuba diver, but he didn't want to have a certification that said disabled on it. And really it made myself and other people look at exactly how we taught people with disabilities. So beforehand, there were organisations like International Association of Handicapped Divers, Disabled Divers International, Handicapped Scuba Association. But mainstream, so PADI, which most people know, RAID, Scuba Schools International, didn't really have any adaptive systems. And Chris really threw out the challenge to see what we can do. So we spent a lot of time, a lot of hard work on Chris and other bilateral amputees, then found out it was possible for these people to qualify as mainstream open water divers rather than through a disabled organisation. And increasingly now, mainstream agencies have the facility to teach people adaptively.
Perhaps you could tell us about some of the people that you've trained over the years and the sort of disabilities that they've had to deal with.
There's an awful lot of them. I suppose I've mentioned Chris. I met Chris 3 months after he was blown up in Afghanistan. He'd lost both his legs, one above the knee and one below the knee. And he also had post-traumatic stress disorder. And at the same time, we met a guy called Richard Ward, who similarly was a bilateral amputee. So there's the amputee section. The first ones we worked with were bilateral amputees. And then we had two triple amputees, so they'd lost both their legs and one of their arms. And, you know, most people think it's impossible for somebody to qualify as an open water diver. They did, and they went on to do their advanced courses, and one of them went on to do his rescue course. And very often when people challenge adaptive teaching, we show the picture of this guy doing the lift of an instructor who's meant to be unresponsive on the bottom of the ocean, and the lift is absolutely perfect. Mm. So we have people who don't just have physical injuries. We have 95% of the people that we deal with have post-traumatic stress disorder or other mental health issues. And we have people who have illnesses such as multiple sclerosis. Mm. So there's a variety of people that we teach.
Now, I'm guessing over the years that you've got feedback from the beneficiaries of your courses. Is there sort of some main standout points that come from the students that go on the courses that you teach?
A lot of them would say we actually saved their lives. They're very open about that. We actually gave them something to do. They could believe in themselves. Because we don't just, in Depth Therapy, teach scuba diving. There's a far greater package than that. We offer people who need it 24/7 support. We ran mental health first aid courses for beneficiaries and their partners or their parents. And we try and very much involve the family. So Danny Martin, who's one of our best beneficiaries, had PTSD. I mean, always said we gave his wife, her husband back, and we gave his children their father back. And I think that's a comment that's often made. Very much we support the families, and one recently said, you know, you've given my son his life back. So that's the sort of feedback we get. And for lots of people who are severely injured or have serious illnesses, actually achieving something in terms of getting a qualification in scuba diving or further qualifications is actually so important, because lots of people, sadly, in our society, write people off. They say, you know, they've got PTSD, and it's not a word we'd use, you know, you stay away from them, they're a bit of nutter, you know, they can't do this. And most don't believe they can do something like scuba diving. I think one of the guys we're working with at the moment, Grant, has multiple cirrhosis, and it's in quite an advanced stage. He's actually achieved a massive amount, far more than most able-bodied people do. And that's what we do.
Now, I've spent a week with yourselves and others. It's been a hard week. But one of the things I've perhaps noticed about yourself, Richard, is the fact that you seem to have this very strong passion for helping these guys, albeit it's probably quite reserved and quiet, but it's there all the same.
You have to want to do it. I mean, I've seen it work. You know, very often people say thank you, and it's quite a privilege to actually teach them. It's quite a privilege to work with them. And when you go away, which we aim to do, you know, we teach them to dive, we develop their diving, and then we take them on an expedition to somewhere like Truk Lagoon in Micronesia, or earlier this year doing marine biology exercise in the Red Sea on some of the famous wrecks. You know, you actually see the results and you actually feel so good about it. It's easy to get the passion.
I was saying to Chris earlier when I spoke to him that beneficiaries, the students that have the various disabilities, but once everybody's in the water, everybody's equal.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we try to do. I mean, unfortunately, still in the scuba diving industry, there's lots of people who don't accept adaptive teaching. In fact, one year we were away with Chris on a liverboard in the Red Sea, diving wrecks, and there was a well-known, what they call wreck hunter, on the boat with us. And he said that Chris shouldn't be a dive master, he should be a disabled dive master. And Chris actually challenged him to swim the length of the SS Thistlegorm and actually see who would win. And I know that Chris, without his legs, would have won. And that's the thing. So somebody, you've worked with Chris all week, he's a dive master, he's got no legs, but he's excellent underwater. And that's really how it works. The only thing that stops anybody coming out with us are if their condition is contraindicated to diving, or they're on medication or a cocktail medication that the approved medical examiners of divers actually say is contraindicated to diving. So pretty much we will take anybody who can achieve an open water standard or above, and we'll work with them and help them to dive.
Now, unfortunately, this is going to be your last training trip, I think. You've got one more trip coming up next year. Charity's having to wind up. Why is that?
I mean, one of the main reasons is funding. So we noticed before COVID that, say, through Just Giving and public giving to military charities across the military charity sector had dropped away. So they weren't seeing soldiers being repatriated, they weren't seeing people like Chris in wheelchairs at Headley Court. So it wasn't in the public eye, so military charities actually suffered, and COVID had a major impact. And then we saw NHS becoming the big charities, people giving a lot to the NHS. We've now seen lots of money going to Ukraine, we've seen lots of money going to the floods in Pakistan, all of them very worthy causes, but it actually, there's just a pot of giving, you know, and that's it. But also we've had, I suppose, a problem with the beneficiary pipeline. This was exacerbated by COVID, but a lot of the people we're dealing with in 2014 onwards were pretty much young guys who were young, free and single, and they could actually commit to 2 or 3 weeks a year and then commit the next year to a couple of weeks. What we see now is, and all our beneficiaries have developed like this, they're largely partnered, they're in work, and many of them now have childcare responsibilities, so they can only give a week a year, and a week a year really doesn't work because if you learn to dive in year one and you don't come back out until year two to do the next thing, you've almost got to start yeah. again. So it doesn't allow us to build on it. So that's why the trustees have decided that we should, unfortunately, shut down.
Richard, I think what you've done and continue to do is absolutely awe-inspiring, and I'm sure all the people that have been on your courses will be equally as thankful.
Thank you very much, Dave. Cheers.
It's hard to encapsulate this charity and all that it does. Without doubt, it has saved many lives and returned veterans to their families in a better place. There isn't a price you can attach to this gift. As I talked to the guys, it was clear that they were just ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And I got the sense that the destination was less important than the journey to get there. That's where friendships are formed, unbroken bonds made. Perhaps Theodore Roosevelt summed it up best. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again. Because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who, at best, knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who, at worst, if he fails, at least fails whilst daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with these cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat.